The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hi guys, you're listening to That's Mint on Fresh FM, broadcasting across the top of the south on 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 107.2 Nelson CBD, 88.9 Blenheim, 95.0 Eastern Golden Bay, and streaming to the planet on freshfm.co.nz. Hi everybody, welcome back. I'm Imogen.
I'm Isa.
I'm Rahil.
And today we're going to be kind of following the same trend as we did last time, but today we're going to be talking to some of our Fijian community about what it's like growing up, I guess, as Fijians outside of Fiji and just that kind of an experience in general. So I want to start by you guys just introducing yourselves, telling us a little bit about
you. Yeah, absolutely. Nisan Bulavanaka. My name is Rahil. I've been in New Zealand for about 13 years now. I came here when I was 4 years old as a immigrant with my mother, and not too soon after, the rest of my family decided to come along, and ever since then, I've grown up here in Whakatū.
Nice. And what about you?
Hey, I moved here when I was about 7.
Yep.
I came here with my stepdad and my mom, and we started out in Auckland. And then moved on to Wellington, and now in Nelson.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
traveling girl.
Lots of moving around.
How old were you when you ended up in Nelson?
I only moved here about 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool. So what was it like for you? I mean, for you, you were probably a bit young to remember, but do you remember any of the, I guess, immigration process and what it was like coming here? And
Not specifically. I mean, similar to Isa's experience, I actually lived in Manukau, South Auckland, for about 2-3 years.
Before. I think that's really common. I know lots of people that do that.
Quite a lot of people end up moving to Tamaki Makaurau before coming down here.
Yeah.
And personally, I can't remember a lot of that experience because I know that most of that was handled by my mom.
Yeah.
So I would say the process I wasn't too involved in. I just remember moving around quite a lot, which was kind of a pain, but now it feels nice to be settled down here.
Yeah, definitely. What about for you? I mean, it sounds like you moved to quite a lot of places.
Yeah, it was quite hard with like making friends and then like also trying to be part of like the Fijian communities in those areas.
Yeah. I mean, Fijian communities are not like huge, but I mean, as a whole population, there are quite a lot of Fijians here.
Yeah.
Was it hard finding the community in Nelson? Is there a community in Nelson?
There is. There is a few. There is a Itoke community, which is native Fijians, and then there is a big Indo-Fijian community here as well.
Yeah. Are you part of both or just
one? I'm part of the Indo-Fijian community, which is heavily led by quite a lot of our family friends.
Oh, cool. So, that's cool. How many would you say there are?
There's about roughly 70 to 80 families.
Damn,
so it's relatively big. But it's grown over the past few years. So
Is it very connected? I know we have a lot of communities. We were talking about this with the Nepali community that are quite separated. Mm. Is yours very united, would you say?
Recently, not so much. But we try and do as many events as we can together. We usually gather whenever we celebrate Fijian Independence Day as well.
Mm.
But other than that, it's mainly just people keeping to themselves and stuff like that.
Having celebrations.
Yes.
House parties.
Yes,
and stuff.
House parties, family events, and stuff like that.
That's so nice. Okay, do we want to talk about school?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was it like? I mean, I'm assuming growing up in Nelson mostly. Your whole school life has been here, right?
No, so actually I went to a few schools up in Auckland.
Oh, okay.
And we moved around every few or so months because my parents were changing through jobs quite a bit, as well as when my dad had moved down, because my dad was a fabricator welder in Fiji.
Oh, wow.
And so he just wasn't able to find a job here due to the lack of English he spoke. Along with my mom, she was doing nursing at the time, but then decided that is not the career path for her because she didn't enjoy looking at blood.
Yeah, valid.
I can't really say that because I'm the opposite. But we moved about 4 times in many regions of the south part of Auckland.
Yeah.
And then
was that moving houses as well as schools?
Yes.
Wow.
We ended up living with our family because in Fiji, that's quite a common thing, living with all of your relatives in the same household. So after leaving quite a lot of our relatives that lived in Auckland, it just felt lonely and my parents just weren't able to fit in with the community.
Yeah.
And especially being an immigrant in the I'd say early 2000s. Yeah. It felt a bit iffy, you know, especially when community looked down at us as like strangers in their country.
So
it was quite like prone for people to look at us and be like, oh, these people are not from our country and etc. And so we moved around quite a bit. But I never really had a lot of friends because obviously moving a lot of school, you don't really have time to fit in. You don't have time to settle down.
Mm.
So that kind of made my childhood a bit difficult for me.
Yeah, definitely. What about for you?
Well, I've done some schooling in Fiji and it was such a shock coming here and with the schooling especially, I feel like New Zealand schooling is kind of behind.
It's so slack.
Yes, it is.
It's definitely behind. And I was, just because I was an immigrant, they put me in a class below.
I know so many people that are like that, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and that was, I feel like it was really easy for me to get through everything, but also like I felt like I wasn't being challenged enough.
Yeah.
Which was kind of hard.
Yeah, especially like you're in a year below at a school that's already like at an easier level than what you're used to. And it's like now kids that you're trying to make friends with are younger than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so unfair.
Yeah, that is. I haven't moved around as much as Rahil has. But
what about like being in classes and stuff? Being like the only Fijian kids in your schools? Has that been hard? Or I mean, you have each other, so.
Yeah. Yes, but most people don't view us as Fijians.
Mm, especially here in New Zealand, it's either you're Asian or you're just labelled as something else. But it's never really a fixed category as a Pacific Islander, whereas in Fiji, we're recognised as Fijians, which is something they choose not to do here in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That must have been the craziest job. Yeah.
Yes, it was a bit difficult, but then my parents kind of fought for it. And now on my NZQA stuff, it does label me as Fijian, which I'm quite proud of now. That's so great.
Before it was...
It was just Indian.
Yeah, when Oz had African on our NZQA thing, I have zero African in me. I was like, oh. And my mom got really mad and had to fix it. So that's a little... problematic thing from the schools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't... I can't believe that's not, like, a choice or something you get to choose. Like, I didn't even know it was there, and then my sister was looking at her exams one time, and she was like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, being labeled as, like, a completely different ethnicity to what you are, I suppose, or how you feel, and being... having that choice taken away from you, I guess, that would probably cause quite an identity crisis. Did you guys go through that?
I mean, definitely. Like, I think both of us got raised in quite a really cultural environment while we were in Fiji, especially when I moved here at quite a young age. Like, I could speak Fijian.
Yeah.
And I, like, you know, I really held on to that heritage as well moving here. Yeah. I know most often people think that Indo-Fijians have, like, zero connection, but I guess it just heavily depends on the person. Like, for me, the Indian side was never really present because I grew up in quite a village area. And for me, it was always talking to the locals in Fijian and stuff like that. So that just kind of always stuck with me, especially when it came to New Zealand. And it was just a bit of a shock being labeled as an Asian where we don't really classify as one.
Other people telling you what you are. Mm. It's crazy.
Yes.
What about for you?
I didn't grow up in a very villagey area. I was more in the city. So it was quite different for me.
Is it like in the city? Is it very mixed in lots of different cultures?
Yeah, definitely very mixed.
It's relatively mixed only because Fiji also has two universities.
Yeah.
Compared to Samoa and Tonga, which they don't actually have universities there, I believe. There's one. But most often we have like huge populations of like other Pacific Islanders in the cities.
Yeah, that's very true. I know lots of Samoan kids that go to Fiji for uni and stuff.
Yeah.
It's quite beautiful. Like a nice little multicultural haven.
Yeah, so Isa would have grown up with a whole heap of them.
Yeah. Like, you know. Yes, but when I moved to New Zealand, my parents, they didn't really bother with trying to find a good Fijian community.
Yeah.
So I lost the ability to speak Fijian and Fijian Hindi. So that was kind of like sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Language plays a big part in
yeah, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah. I know this is just a thought that came into my head when you guys were talking about it, but in Samoa, a lot of the nannies that work for the rich Samoan families are yeah. Fijians.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so most of my friends, because I was at the international schools, nannies were Fijian people, and a lot of my friends could speak Fijian because they'd grown up with these nannies speaking to them in yes. Fijian the whole time. And I remember being at like my friends' houses and their nannies like and them having secret conversations about their parents in Fijian, and their parents are like, boy, speak Samoan, what the hell? But I just remember that, like, how language can like cling on to everyone.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a big part of us.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Big part of cultural identity. That's like in song, food, music,
yeah.
history.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So being friends with Rahil, and also I guess you sound like you're a little bit more connected with the community now.
Yeah.
Have you reclaimed a bit of the language, or is it something you still...
I still like struggle with it quite a yeah. bit. I can't like speak it on command at all. Rahil speaks to me in Fijian sometimes, and I can't like speak back.
But do you understand it?
Yes, I yeah. do understand it. It's pretty easy to understand.
Yeah,
I just can't
yeah.
talk.
There's yeah. in Fijian there's really simple words that you can yeah. use, like doso just means go and stuff like that, and just every now and then it comes out.
Yeah.
And in our conversations, obviously, Isaac can understand.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which is kind
yeah.
of fun.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I mean, like, having that connection. I know people who couldn't speak the language, but, like, when the communities grew bigger in Nelson, it was like they picked it up so quick. Because
yeah.
it's in the back of your head, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure if you go to India, to Fiji and live there for long enough, I'm sure you would be able to pick up the language really quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Is there a big difference between... Fijian Hindi and Fijian? Is there a lot of mixed words?
There. Okay, so we get asked this question quite a bit.
Yeah.
So Fijian Hindi is actually made up of quite a few Indian dialects.
Yeah.
So there's like Bengali, there's like normal Hindi, there's Northern, Southern. So there's a whole mix. So if, for example, if we spoke to someone who was Indian, they would have a really hard time understanding what we're saying and vice versa, because we can't actually understand.
It's like...
It's a common misconception that most people get mixed up. They think that we could actually understand Indians, but we struggle big time to understand them.
Yeah, that's like Patois, like what they speak in Jamaica in English. It sounds kind of the same. Like it's a dialect and it's like the same, but it's not the same at all.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously with the Fijian native language, it's like... The languages have kind of intertwined a lot.
Yeah.
Like, especially nowadays, a lot of Indo-Fijians can speak Fijian quite strongly, you know, and fluently because it's been so interpreted into our language.
Yeah.
Like, there's words in Hindi or, like, our language, Fijian Hindi, that are just Fijian words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure it's very similar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there lots of different dialects of Fijian as well? Or just one?
I think there's just the two. So it's just Fijian Hindi and then just the Itoke as well. So,
do you guys get taught either at school?
Schools in New Zealand don't relatively provide Fijian as a language compared to like how they might teach Samoan and Tongan, especially in the South Island.
That's
quite a, it's quite a big issue, especially with other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So, should we talk about that?
Yes, absolutely.
Rahil's favorite topic. About that. How do you feel the Fijian community is excluded from the Pacifica conversation?
Okay, so, I've been waiting for this one. a really, really big and well-spoken topic, especially in the Fijian community, is Polyfest.
Yeah.
So, at Polyfest, they have Samoan and Tongan stages.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a third one, which is the diversity stage.
Everything else.
Exactly. Yeah. Fiji is one of the biggest islands in Polynesia.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being excluded from Polyfest.
Yeah.
And it just feels really, really heartbreaking to see that our tokos are being excluded from such a amazing festival that's meant to represent and uplift all of the Pacifica nations.
I think that has a lot to do with colorism and Melanesian
Absolutely.
Cultures.
Yes.
Even living in Samoa, I saw so many, like, Melanesia is not even, I think if you went up to most people, they wouldn't even know what that is. You know what I mean? It's just Polynesia.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that Melanesian cultures are so diverse and they're huge countries. You know what I mean? Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, like those are big countries and they're just completely, absolutely ignored from the global stage, not just in New Zealand, but like the whole world doesn't know about them. Yeah,
absolutely. I think it also kind of has the role to do with Indo-Fijians being present in those Fijian dances as well. Like something that we've noticed, especially throughout the years, there's been a huge increase with Itoke and Indo-Fijians performing together.
Yeah.
Which is,
it's beautiful.
It is absolutely amazing to see two unities like connecting and being able to perform and share their cultures.
Especially after such a rough history.
Yes, it's like absolutely.
Coming together and...
Yeah. Mm. So, like, as much as, like, it pains me to say that, like, they don't have a stage for us, I can see why they're holding off, because they might think that, oh, they have Asians being interpreted into the Fijian dances, which seems very unethical and, like, it's just wrong.
But also, I think they're ignoring the fact that, like, ignoring all of the history that comes with you guys even being in Fiji in the first place. Like, slavery?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a big struggle. And a lot of people, like, they'll still come up to me today and they'll be like, we've learned about the Fijian history. Why didn't you guys just move back? And, like, it sucks, like, when they ask me this question, because, like, obviously, during the indentured labor times, there was well over 100,000 people that came over from parts of India. And half of them ended up returning home. But then, obviously, after so many years of being indentured as laborers in Fiji, after getting their independence, they didn't have anything to return home to.
Yeah.
Obviously. They weren't able to rebuild that life, so they stayed in Fiji.
And at that point, they probably saw themselves more as Fijian anyway.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. They hadn't been there for so long. I mean, that's something I can fully understand. Mm. But I think that the history of Indians being slaved is, like, enslaved is completely ignored. Like, that didn't just happen in Fiji. That happened all over the world. Like, if you go to a majority of the African countries,
there is huge populations. And, like, there's also so many. There's, like, Indo-Mauritius and this, like, whole...
There's Indo-Jamaicans. Exactly. When you go to Jamaica, there are so many Indian people. Mm-hmm. We have Indian-Jamaican food combinations that are, like... Yeah. And I think that's something that's never acknowledged is, like, why are they here? But also, like, think about it for 5 seconds.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, do we want to play a song now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to introduce it?
Yes, so the song is a traditional Fijian song. It's called Waimandukui, and it's a personal favorite that I really like listening to all the time.
Enjoy!
Welcome back to That's Mint. You were just listening to Waimandu Kui.
So, welcome back, everybody. We were just talking about the Indo-Fijian experience, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Aiza and Rahil. I have another question for you guys, and I think it's all just about how did you guys keep your culture alive? I mean, Rahil, you're very passionate, and we see you at all of the events,
mm-hmm.
being the MC and performing and upholding practically your school's whole cultural group.
Yeah.
How did you get that responsibility, or how was that put on you? And also just how do you keep your culture alive? I mean, you moved here when you were four. That's pretty inspirational.
Yeah, thank you so much, Imogen. So at our school, we have a very little population of diversity.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just Kiwi 80% of the time, and then we have very small populations of Europeans, which is traditionally through our school's international program.
Yeah.
So we originally didn't even have any cultural group at our school until 3 years ago. We had a very inspirational student by the name of Lani Kulapu. I'm so sorry if I would have butchered that name. But he was a very passionate Samoan student. He loved his background, and he thought, hey, there's very little diversity at our school. Why don't I start a cultural group?
Baddie.
And so, real baddie indeed. So Lani got some of the students together and was like, hey, let's start a multicultural group. And then the following year, when I was a year 11, I heard about it, and me and Aiza went along and joined.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was an amazing place to be. It was comforting. It was a safe space for us.
Yeah. Were you guys just like hanging out and sharing a culture, or did you guys do events?
Yeah, absolutely. We even hosted events. We had multicultural weeks. We had Te Reo Māori, and along with other events as well. We even had Lani share her culture with us, like Samoan dances, doing Siva, And it was truly inspirational, you know, to see Lani doing all of this.
Yeah.
And after Lani had left, the so-called multicultural group became more of a bicultural group. So
okay.
By bicultural, I mean the duty got handed down to Kaitonakis.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I am all for. I love it. I love that our multi students are getting to represent a group. But it just seems that multicultural is a lot more than just Māori students.
I think this is a really big culture, like a very big conversation to be had. And it was something that happened at our school too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's this idea that to be a bicultural society, we have to ignore the multicultural people.
Yes.
Or it's like you have to fix the bicultural problems and then we can turn to the multicultural people. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's something that doesn't have to be necessarily like one and then the other. It
yes.
could be like, together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, you're Maori, but you're also multicultural.
Mm-hmm.
So let's all uplift each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a conversation I had this year with one of our SLT.
Yeah.
I spoke to him. I said, hey, look, I just feel like the representation from our Kaitanakis is very little because they're promoting their culture and they're ignoring everyone else. And I just feel like in a multicultural group, that's something that needs to be uplifted, you know?
Yeah.
The representation. And the comment that this SLT made was, this country is bicultural. We are meant to follow the laws of what Treaty of Waitangi says. And obviously, I respect that in all means. But there's also the representation that everyone should have.
Yeah.
Everyone should have a voice. Everyone has meaning from their culture.
Mm-hmm.
We need to acknowledge that. Yeah. And I felt like, especially during a lot of the events that were happening this year as a year 13 student, I got to see how it made our Pacifica students feel. And we never have a safe space for them. And a lot of them would express that they would be having a lot of racist comments made to them. And most often you wouldn't hear that because, you know, in schools like Auckland, most often they're dominated by island populations.
Yeah.
And so it just felt heartbreaking and, you know, just shattering to see that our students didn't have a voice, didn't have any cultural representation at school because a lot of that had been pushed away. So a lot of tough conversations were in place and a lot of disagreements were made. And I started it regardless because it's not their decision.
Yeah.
And our Pacifica students deserve to have a safe space at school.
Yeah. Everyone deserves to feel like they are acknowledged and to feel represented.
Mm.
And if students are coming to you crying and saying that they don't feel listened to, you should take that on board and realize, okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's do something about it. Because why would you want kids to be suffering or feeling different from everyone else when you have the power to change it? I think that's not a conversation that's just happened at your school, but I think it's a conversation that's happening all over the country at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
And so making the Pacifica group, we actually started it officially late June.
Yeah.
And then I got roughly about 20 to 30 Pacifica students together and it was amazing, but we didn't have a leader. And obviously at the time they were like,
uh-oh,
Rahil, please be in charge. And I said, absolutely, I would love to. And obviously working as a student leader in year 13, I had the leadership experience. So I thought, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to make a change and it's time to make history for our school. And within just a few weeks, we got taught multiple dances. We had parents come out from outside of school.
Of course.
Teaching our students how to do meke, how to do siva. And it was beautiful.
Oh my gosh, it sounds amazing.
It really was. And just after a month, we had been invited to come along and perform at the Vast Festival that was hosted here in Nelson. After that, we received a email inviting us to come to our first ever Polyfest.
Oh, wow.
Down in Waira. And it's truly been absolutely wonderful. We've hosted Tongan Language Week. We've hosted Fosa Vakaviti.
Also, they have the best Instagram account ever.
We love our interviews. We love our interviews. And it just felt absolutely amazing. And it just didn't stop there. We continued. We made lollilays for all of our prize givings. This is the first time in Nailin history that we've actually made more than 100 lollilays for prize givings.
That is so cool. When we had prize giving at our school, there were just a couple of kids who got ula lole, and the whole time, like every time they they would stop to get their ula put on them, parents would be like, all of the parents in the crowds would be like, oh my gosh, and like laughing, and the teachers would be like tapping their feet, like trying to get them get them to hurry up, you know, because the prize giving was taking a long time. And I was just thinking in my head, like, the level of disrespect that comes from that. And also, like, to me, growing up in a Pacific country, it's like, that is completely normal. And you have to factor in time because people are celebrating, people are doing siva around them, you know? And I was just thinking, like, this is their day, and look at you guys laughing. So I'm so glad that you guys did that for everyone, because no one can laugh if everyone's doing it.
Exactly. And, you know, like, it was just a bit heartbreaking to know that we live in a Polynesia country.
Yeah.
And that was something that was not uplifted.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, look at you doing amazing things all the time. I just wanted to ask about, what is your plan for next year? How are you going to ensure that this keeps on going?
Yeah, absolutely. So my long-term goal is actually to study medicine.
Oh my gosh.
And then travel back home to Fiji, help my people. And then I want to go overseas and help out in places like Sudan, Palestine, just be able to provide
because
relief.
Because he's just that guy.
Thank you.
Just that interesting. What about for your group?
Yes,
how
for
are you
going
to ensure that it keeps going and doesn't just get forgotten about like last time?
Absolutely. So this year I've left my respectful duties in the hands of a absolutely stunning Samoan girl, and she really, really uplifts her culture.
Perfect.
And she is a wonderful role model.
Perfect.
She was assisting me in so much this year. A lot of it couldn't actually have been done without her. Her involvement, her joy, and everything just really brightened the room. And so I know she's going to take care of the group well next year. But obviously, I'm taking a gap year before I start studying again, because I just need a deep breath.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so
you'll be there.
Absolutely. I will be present whenever they need my help. And also, hopefully, I can try and get them to attend Christchurch Polyfest next year.
Imagine. I'm sure with the resume you have and the power you've been manifesting to make things happen, I'm sure you'll definitely get there, and we'll all be celebrating.
Thank you.
Okay. I just want to thank you guys one last time. That was really beautiful.
You
really are both inspirations. So, yeah, thank you so much. We're so lucky to have the moment. Bye.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.